Fellow Freedom fans, David Allen Carmichael here with the Faith and Freedom Show on Frank Talk 104.3 FM for the Liberty Works Radio Network, davidallencarmichael.com.net.org, whatever you'd like. Check out our podcast. Have a good time. Also, before I go to what our caller was going to make, one last comment. Don't forget, noon to 3 tomorrow at the VFW 7991, 3107 West Dunellen Road, 3107 West Dunellen Road from 12 to 3 tomorrow. Big chicken dinner. Now, caller, before we went to the break, you were going to say something about a perspective of the Founding Fathers that you think our listeners need to know.
Yeah, I think if you go back to the era of that day, and I used to spend time in Valley Forge, literally, even by lunch there in Philadelphia, and looking at the hills and the terrain and the politics of the day, that not all these politicians were heroes. As a matter of fact, most of them actually weren't. That you can probably count on your hand or maybe both hands what we call Founding Fathers, patriots, Thomas Jefferson, George Washington.
George Mason's, Samuel Adams, John Adams.
Samuel Adams, you know, they are the patriots, but the politicians were politicians. They will always be politicians.
Yes.
And those politicians really didn't want the revolution. Americans have to understand that. And Adams said, and Henry basically said, listen, what's the deal here? I mean, Adams obviously wanted to, you know, for 40 years, but, you know, they were saying, what's the deal here? What's the difference if we have one tyrant 2,500 miles away or 2,500 tyrants a mile away?
That's right.
You know, saying we want a democracy. So, and at that time, there was a group called the Fair Play Men from Lock Haven, Pennsylvania, and that was northwestern Pennsylvania, actually north-northwestern, almost north-northwest, and they were having problems with Indians attacking them and being killed and the British not protecting them.
Right.
The British weren't protecting them. And they drafted their own Declaration of Independence, the citizens did, July 4th, by coincidence, 1776. So, and prior to this declaration, 20 years prior to that, there was already revolution going on. The people were revolting. And basically, these guys that signed the declaration, and there were several that were true, honest Founding Father patriots, were afraid that they were going to be overthrown and strung up.
Well, I mean, you've got a good point there. Yeah, you know, today...
The people had enough.
You're right.
They said, and I'm telling you what this is evidenced by with the Continental Congress. George Washington and his men freezing to death in Valley Forge, 17 miles north of Philadelphia, with no help from the Continental Congress, because they were afraid. They were afraid if we lost this war, they wouldn't be... They could say, oh, I wasn't a traitor. We didn't supply them arms. The people saved those men. And George Washington saved those men. You and I wouldn't be talking today. We'd be speaking English. That's a joke.
Yeah.
We have to put that all into perspective.
No, I got to tell you, I just read a Declaration of Independence from a county in Virginia at that time, and I didn't even know it existed. I saw that this morning and read that. And sure enough, I agree with you. There's the people were casting off the bondage of anybody trying to presume upon them some external force. So you're right there, and I agree with it. There's a lot of intricacies here, I think. But one thing that we're really concentrating on is, and I think is your point is well taken, it is a great individual responsibility for your self-protection and to have right done in your sphere of influence. I agree totally.
All right, one thing more about the Declaration of Independence.
Okay, because I got another point I got to make.
One of the greatest political documents, other than the Bible, which you can call it or not, that ever existed, was that those words that said, we hold these truths, you can't argue with the truth, to be self-evident. There's
That's
no
right.
evidence that all men, people, are created equal. That was earth-shattering at that time, saying that no matter, there's no czars, there's no titles, there's no abilities, that if you're born in this land, under the eyes of the law, you're going to be equal. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and are endowed by their creator. There is a creator, there is a God, with certain unalienable rights, and they listed them. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That means everything.
In that order, too.
Because Jefferson was going to say property, and they said, no, don't say property, because happiness means everything.
Right.
They're the most important words I think man has ever written in the history of mankind. Those words right there. So, okay, David, thanks.
Hey, good word. Good comments. That is good commentary, folks. I just appreciate that caller giving some really good perspective. And that's really why we're doing this. And I, can I tell you the reason why I'm doing it, really? Because God told me to. Am I schizophrenic? Am I hearing voices from God? You think it can't be done? I'm telling you, I'm doing this because I was commanded to, and I didn't want to do what I'm doing. And by the grace of God, I get through it every day, notwithstanding the lack of support. Okay. There's one more thing that I want to cover. A few weeks ago, I said that I made a comment that there was a financial tsunami heading your way. If you want to listen to that show, I really encourage it. You go to www.faithfreedoms.net. Faithfreedoms.net. What you're going to do is I'm going to tell you about a financial tsunami warning that is coming your way. Basically, there was a financial earthquake, that I wanted to put out a tsunami warning. And what it was is the IMF reported that they were going to determine groups of countries that needed their help and publish it. Even if those groups didn't ask for help, didn't want a loan, but the IMF was going to make determinations that there are groups of countries that desperately needed their graces. And I said, "That's look what it's going to do to the economies and the self-control and the sovereignty of these countries." I want to see what I wanted to tell you. It's coming your way. I said, this is just not isolated. Now, I want you to listen to report. This is Russia Today making a report. I found this on YouTube, and it's based upon what the United Nations has just done, taking a shot at the United States' control of its own monetary policy and its status in the world. Let's listen.
A report by the United Nations says the American dollar should be ditched as the main global reserve currency. It said that the global financial meltdown has exposed systematic weaknesses, one of which is the reliance on the greenback. It also found that developing countries have been hit by the dollar's loss of value in recent years. A number of states, including Russia and China, have repeatedly called for a new reserve currency system. The UN has now suggested using a basket of currencies for this purpose. London-based markets strategist Nick Parsons believes it's only a matter of months before the dollar will start to go down.
It's not going to change overnight, but we have seen it's been chipped away inexorably over the course of the last two decades. For the last 25 years, the dollar has been losing value. Not only has it been losing value, but we also see that international investors, those reserve managers, central banks around the world, have actually been reducing the proportion of their reserves which is held in dollars. I think the dollar is going to start going down in the second half of this year. What we've seen at the over the course of the last 6 months is investors fleeing the euro on worries that that currency itself is going to be broken up, that somehow Greece, Spain, Portugal, Italy and others may be leaving the euro, and there's been a flight out of that. Now, it's not the case that everyone loves the dollar, it's simply that it's been benefiting from not being the euro. We expect that that's pretty much a temporary phenomenon. We think in the second half of this year, the underlying structural weakness of the US economy will come forwards. The United States is still borrowing double-digit percentage of GDP. We've got the midterm elections in November, which we think may leave President Obama pretty much exposed. And the jobless situation just simply doesn't get better. And we think that investors' attention is going to switch onto the negative side of the dollar in the second half of this year, away from looking at the negatives for the euro, which it's done in the first half. I think we're going to move to a world which is effectively pegged to SDRs. Now, SDRs may sound very obscure and esoteric. SDRs are essentially the currency which the IMF uses. It's a composite currency. It's a basket. It's a virtual currency, if you like. It's made up of almost 60% dollars, almost 30% euros. It includes most of the major currencies in the world. And the advantage that countries have in using this as a unit of account is that it avoids these extreme fluctuations in valuation, and also it avoids the volatility that we see over time.
Well, there's more advantages to some people than just the extreme fluctuations of currency. I told you about this, and this is just a second warning of a financial tsunami heading your way. It's going to be recorded. It's been published. I'm doing it here. And we're going to be able to look back. I may be replaying this thing in not too long from now. Do you see what happened? The IMF came out with this. I can't think of the guy's name who's the chairman of the IMF. They said that they're going to come up with this thing where they're going to be making announcements of what somebody's monetary value, their ability to pay their debts, or their need to obtain debts to stay afloat. And I said that's what's going to enable people or a banking cartel to undermine the power of a sovereign, quote-unquote, sovereign country, an independent country. Now what happens, we have this same guy from the IMF getting together with the United Nations and publicly on July 1st making a comment that we need to dump the U.S. as the reserve currency and go to these special drawing rights. Now, it's not just a pool of currencies. If you read the IMF information on what special drawing rights are, he called it a virtual currency. What it is, it's based upon your numbered head, your gross domestic enslaved product. How much enslavement can this country tolerate compared to other countries' enslavement? That's effectively what it is. But the key thing here is that they made an announcement about the value of the United States money and that they ought to, pardon me, shift to SDRs. And the effect was the U.S. dollar plummeted, or at least dropped significantly. The stock market dropped. But wait, there's more. Gold dropped. Now, why would gold drop? And it stayed. It was amazing how July 1st, July 2nd, it dropped and then kind of tabled off. Why would it do that? You would think that gold would be shooting up if the dollar's dropping, especially if somebody goes, uh-oh, somebody just rocked the world with some information. And this guy even went on to say, the dollar shall be falling, plummeting over the next so many months. Well, that's a nice thing. Whether it would be true or not, it doesn't matter because the statement's been made. You would think at that point, people would be shifting their assets into gold. Somebody's yanking the gold market, as we had our guest from the GATA.org. Check out GATA.org, the Gold Antitrust Action Committee. Find out what they've been saying for the last 20 years. And it's starting to come to pass. It reminds me of Andrew Jackson's veto of the banking bill back in 1834, and he had some profound comments about what would happen to this country when the power is given over to foreign bankers to determine the fate of this country, notwithstanding the interest of its people. How many Christians in India compared to Hindus and Muslims, etc., when Mr. Gandhi used the principles of Jesus Christ to radically change and free their country, effectively free. It only can be so free in a non-Christian nation. But he used the teachings of Jesus Christ and commitment to those teachings to change, to radically change in a nonviolent way the entire nation and basically get Great Britain kicked out of India. How many Christians, supposedly lip service maybe, are in America and should have the ability to radically rock this nation? Our freedom is going to come in proportion to our faith, folks. There's going to be a day where we give an account for every action, whether it be good or evil. And that includes our time before the cable TV. David Allen Carmichael here with this My Faith and Freedom Show. You can listen to our podcast at faithfreedoms.net. Anytime you want to do a search on me, David Allen, A-L-A-N, Carmichael, .com, .net, .org. Feel free to do that. And stay tuned every Saturday on this Liberty Works Radio Network show on Frank Talk 104.3 FM from 3 to 5 p.m. And if you want to give me a call, 888-850-1872, and want to know how you can live eternally, give me a call.